Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There is a fictitious story about a beggar who sat at a rich man's gate, being dependent for his living on what the rich man gave him. But once the rich man asked him to run an errand, to which the beggar responded, "I solicit alms, I do not run errands." Now this ungrateful and reprehensible attitude is the kind of attitude that many people hold, it seems, regarding their relationship with God. Oh, they want His benefits, but they do not wish to assume any duty or responsibility to do anything for God. Friend, we have duty. We have responsibility. But we have seen this deplorable attitude in action many times with many who come to the church building. They're looking for handouts. They would use the church for themselves, but they have no interest or concern about God or anything pertaining to Him. Many people approach religion with the question, "What's in it for me?" Now, much of the religious appeal being made to people today is based upon the expectation of material gain. People are led to believe that coming to God will get them a better house, a newer car, a larger salary, finer clothes, and some respond to these appeals seeking only their personal and material advantage without any concern for reciprocating for what God has done. Now, while there are definite advantages in serving God, and these are not primarily material in nature, there are responsibilities also that we must assume, and we must do our duty. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, beginning with verse 18, "And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arinoah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of God, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arinoah looked, and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arinoah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arinoah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arinoah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be the oxen for burnt sacrifice, and the threshing instruments, and other instruments of oxen for wood. And all these did Arinoah, as a king, give unto the king. And Arinoah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arinoah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Now David had sinned in making a census of the people, relying upon himself and the might of the land rather than on the Lord. And for punishment, David was given three options. One, it could be 7 years of famine. Or two, there could be 3 months of fleeing before his enemies. Or three, there would be 3 days pestilence. Well, David placed himself at the mercy of God, and God sent a pestilence upon Israel. Now, David was commanded to offer sacrifices to remove that pestilence. Arinoah offered to give unto David what he needed for the sacrifices, but David refused to accept it. He would buy it. He contended, in essence, I will pay for what I use. I do not want to give God that which is of no sacrifice to me. I do not have a religion that costs me nothing. Dear friend, anything worthwhile involves cost in terms of money or energy and time and patience and understanding and certainly selflessness, and there are other costs. We readily understand this principle in life. To secure a secular education, it's very costly in terms of money and self-discipline, study, classroom attendance, preparation of assignments, much time in midnight oil, and certainly stickability. Marriage has costs if it's going to be successful. One must be cooperative and considerate, forbearing and forgiving, serving and ready to meet and discharge responsibilities. And to be a successful athlete, one must pay the price in training with a great desire, watching his diet, discipline, and determination. There may, to some, be a degree of element of natural ability and athletic attainments, but mostly, friend, it takes practice and practice and practice. And this is certainly true to become an accomplished musician. There are dedicated hours of study and work, rehearsal, repetition. Well, these same principle is true succeeding in business. One must discharge diligence and effort and work. Indeed, extra work, long hours, many energies expended for which one may receive no pay. Success is also costly in the religious realm. Acceptable service to God is demanding. In Luke 9, in verse 23, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Paul wrote in Romans 12, in verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Again in Luke 14, verse 33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Yes, it costs to become a Christian, and it costs to be faithful in what you have become. And what does your religion cost you? What does it cost in money? In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, Paul wrote, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Paul was talking about the grace of giving. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Dear listener, the Lord wants us to give, but he wants us to give willingly and cheerfully and liberally, as we have purposed, as we have planned, as we have prospered. Acceptable giving demands our planning. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 beginning, it records Jesus observing the giving of gifts into the treasury, and he noted the gift of a poor widow who gave all of her living. And he commented that she had given more than all those of more bountiful means who gave of their surplus. Now there may be members of the church who will spend more on a vacation, or in their sports, or in their hobbies each year, than they will give to the support of the work of the church. Friend, does this not reflect a mar in what is our prime interest? Is it not wrong to spend funds on things more than for God? But what could the church do if everyone had the attitude of the widow? Would our missionaries have to travel to and fro begging brethren to supply even their minimal needs so they can make the personal sacrifices and expend their efforts to preach the word? What does your religion cost you in time? Is it really sufficient to spend just an hour or so in worship each week and let that be the total time spent? How much time must be spent with the Bible? How much is spent in doing good to others? How much is spent trying to teach others, even our own children, if we have them? Many people will spend far more time in front of the television, watching things that they probably ought not be watching anyway, than they spend in trying to grow spiritually, seeking the salvation of others, doing good to the less fortunate and to the needy. There is no need to complain we do not have time to do such things. Everyone has the same amount of time. It may require some changes in our schedules and priorities, but is our religion worth enough to us to give it the time that it needs? Is it not possible that a person can get himself or herself so busy in so many matters that ultimately it will prove the person did not have time to go to heaven? What does your religion cost in terms of the use of your talents and your abilities other than money? We have abilities to do the work of the Lord, and we are accountable unto Him. Now, it may be that sometimes it's inconvenient for us to use our capacities to do what ought to be done. But is it not worth it when given into the service of God? We do want to be careful that we do not our works to be seen of men. What we do is not to be in the public eye to receive commendation from other people. That will produce nothing more than just an earthly reward. We want to do those things that will contribute to treasures in heaven. But we have talents sufficient to earn livings for ourselves and our dependents. We have the talent to hold jobs, to run machines, to operate businesses. Do we not use these things also to further the cause of Christianity? Are our talents to be used only for the advancement of our own personal and temporal ambitions? And friend, what does your religion cost you regarding your manner of daily living? Does your religion affect your habits and your attitudes and your words and your influence? Does it affect where you go and what are your goals and priorities? Does it affect what you say? Does it affect the selection of your friends? Does it affect your social life? Is it not a sad thing that some so-called Christians will do things so unbecoming to one who professes to follow Christ? In the movie Gone with the Wind, there was a little black maid that had the line when speaking of certain behavior of some of the characters. She said, "It just ain't fitting." Well, there are many things, friend, that just ain't fitting for the Christian. Some things ought not to be named among us, Ephesians 5 and verse 3. We should lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, conforming not to this world, but putting off the old man with his doings. You see, Christians are not the kind of people who think they are free to do their own thing, regardless of what that thing might be. They are to walk in the imitation of Christ. Could it be that some of us are properly labeled Brill Cream Christians? Like the ad for that hair ointment many years ago, "A little dab will do you." Dabbling, friend, in the faith of Christ will not suffice. Such is disrespect of its founder. People should not feel slighted because they are not blessed of God when they are not willing to pay the price of being His child. Malachi once wrote the question, "Will a man rob God?" Malachi 3 and verse 8. And the answer, surely he will. It has been done. It will probably continue to be done in many instances. It was made quite evident to Israel that men will rob God. And God proceeded through Malachi to tell Israel how they had robbed Him. They had withheld their tithes. They had offered polluted and blemished sacrifices. They had tried to serve God in a manner that cost them nothing, or at best very little, or maybe just their leftovers. And the result was, according to Malachi 1 and verse 10, God said, "I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord, neither will I accept an offering at your hand." No, the truth is that religion without cost is not beneficial as a faith by which to live, and it will prove disastrous by which to die. The person whose religion cost him will be amply rewarded, provided it is the religion of Jesus Christ. Even a cup of water will not go unrewarded. Matthew 10:42. We cannot outgive God, to be sure. The bounty of His blessings will always overshadow what we can do in return. And when we pay the cost, we are not earning our blessings, because we could never do that. But even though God calls on us for sacrifice, in a way He makes it difficult to sacrifice, and this is what I mean by that. He blesses us so bountifully when we serve Him that it makes our sacrifices and the cost that we offer pale into relative insignificance, so that we do not consider our sacrifices to really be sacrifices, but more consider them to be opportunities. We consider them a pleasure to render into the service of God. What we do in the labor of our Lord is never in vain, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And older and faithful Christians are among the first to speak of such things as that. Service to God through Christ is the only endeavor in which a human being can be involved where there is a guarantee of success. Success is not sure in athletics or in business or in any other activity, but it is true regarding being a faithful Christian. The religion of Christ was costly to Christ, to be sure, 2 Corinthians 8:9. He was rich, but he became poor for our sake. Should it not cost me and cost you to receive the blessings that he provides? The bottom line of the lesson is simply this. Are we willing to pay the price of being a faithful child of God? Will we pay that price? Are we the kind of person that says, I solicit alms. I do not run errands. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.